Thank you, Jesus. Awesome God. Continue to give him praise. Give him all the glory for the opportunity to be in his presence today. The Bible says, blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance. Luke chapter 1, verse 47. We are grateful to you, Father. Be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Praise God. I want to welcome every one of us again on behalf of my father here, Pastor Abraham, and all of my brothers and sisters in the council. The Lord bless you all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I am so honored to be here standing on behalf of my fellow leaders to bring the word. The word of God is the only access to our inheritance. Soon as you are able to find what your inheritance is in the world, then you take delivery of what it is. That was why Jesus, being faced with the devil upon the mountain of temptation, he did not say, I am the word, you cannot tempt me. He said, it is written. So the written word is our access to our all-round victory. Amen. As I was praying concerning this service, and even as I stood there, God began to speak to me in my spirit. There are some of us here that God has ordained to be instruments in his hands. Instrument in his hand. There are even some that have callings upon their lives. But we have sat back. Just like Elijah that fled from persecution in 1 Kings chapter 19. The Bible said in verse 9, he was hidden in a cave, fleeing. But yet, this is somebody with a great calling. And God said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? There are some of us here, God is saying to us, what are you doing there? There is a place, a position you have taken. Now, God is asking to tell you, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? In verse 10, he began to explain to God why he was secluding himself and hiding. Of that 1 Kings chapter 19. And then, verse 11, God said to him, Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain. There is a place of standing that you need to be on for you to manifest. And God is saying to somebody, go out and stand on the mountain. Amen. My prayer today is that God will help you to fulfill his calling in your journey through earth, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I say God will help somebody in the mighty name of Jesus. And so we are going to pray, let us rise up, that God will empower us, because destiny fulfillment requires empowerment. There are so many destinies that have ended in the cave, like Elijah. Great destiny. Prophetic. Somebody that could call down fire and cause the rain to cease. 3.5 years, he fled. Great destiny. And he was hiding. You are going to pray, say, Lord, I receive grace to stand upon the mount. To stand and fulfill the destiny you have called me for. Irrespective of the challenge around you, there is a destiny that you need to fulfill. Grace, Lord Jesus. I receive it. I don't want to be hiding in the cave. I don't want to be hiding away. I pray for help. I pray for help. Help me, Lord. Help me, empower me to fulfill my destiny and my calling in your scheme of things. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. We thank you, Father, for your children. as many here as you have ordained great destinies for, but are still hiding like Elijah. My father, a man that was ordained not to see death, a man that called down fire, but he was fleeing because of minor challenges. I pray that you will bring them out to stand upon the mountain. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will fulfill destiny. I say you will fulfill destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. That situation that has been compelling you to flee, to run away from the presence of God, instead of facing the challenge headlong, I decree right now an end to that situation in the mighty name of Jesus. Every siege of the enemy, every siege of the roaring lion, Jezebel was roaring and Elijah fled. That siege that is roaring against your life, making you to flee from your place of calling, I curse them in the mighty name of Jesus. From today, you will shine. You will stand upon your mount. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Put those blessed hands together and please, let's be seated. Let's be seated in His presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's always a privilege to stand to share the word, and I'm grateful to God for this opportunity. During the 14 days prayers in January, 2 days to round up, God gave me a word, which I shared here, and that was the part one. And I shall be concluding it today. That's understanding the dynamics of prayer and fasting. Understanding the dynamics of prayer and fasting. Our key scripture is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto thee. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by what? By what? By what? And fasting. So there are certain kinds that will not succumb. There are certain kinds that will not go out, except you go all out in prayers and fasting. Your complaining and murmuring notwithstanding, the extent to which it has been there notwithstanding, it will not go out no matter what you do, except through the instrument of prayer and fasting. And that is why Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus spoke that in parable, he was speaking, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So there are situations that will cause you to faint if you are not praying. And it's either one or one. It is either you are praying or you are fainting. You will arise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We also mentioned that there is no provision in this kingdom that you can access except upon the altar of prayers. There is nothing except upon the altar of prayers. Matthew chapter 5, 7 verse 7, ask and it shall be given unto thee. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto thee. So there is a requirement for asking, and that is one step. And we also did say that apart from asking and receiving, there are other things. And we talked about Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. How? And I will show thee great and mighty things. So as you are asking, there is a requirement for you to also wait on him to see what he will show unto you. Because God will answer our prayers, basically, especially
to those that are matured in the world by showing you what to do. It is not every prayer that God answers by delivering it to your doorstep or to you. He will show you what to do. He will show you what to do. You remember the marriage at Canaan? When they were out of wine, they had no wine. And the mother of Jesus went to Jesus and said, "They have no wine." Jesus said, "Woman, what have I to do with you? My time has not come." She turned to the servant and said, "Whatsoever he says unto you, do what? Do it. Do it." There must be something to do. And of course, true to that word, Jesus said to them, "Feed the water pot. Feed the water pot with water. Take from it and go and deliver to the master of the ceremony. And lo and behold, it turned out to be the best wine ever that they ever took. So much so that the chairman of the kitchen said, "How come you are bringing the old wine, the rough wine, before the new one?" Because somebody did what needed to be done. So there would always be an instruction. And we went further to say that prayer is a business that we must transact. And when we transact business, we are ordained to receive profit. You will receive profit for your prayers in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But you need to follow the strategies. You need to understand the dynamics of prayers. God is not permitted to answer every prayer, though there are generic prayer answers that he delivers to us. But you must be strategic in your positioning and in the delivery of your petition for him to answer. For him to answer. And it stems up from understanding. And then we also looked at fasting. What is fasting? It is denying ourselves of those things that will satisfy your flesh, which could be water, food, so that your spirit man will be fed and elevated and gain power and momentum to be able to take delivery of what God has prepared for you. Why? Because every provision of this kingdom is first in the spirit. It is first in the spirit. As a matter of fact, the word I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? They are life. Even this scripture is spiritual. If you read it just like you are reading a book, you will not get anything from it. To you, it will be just literature. So, but you need to take delivery of the rhema behind the logos. You need to understand it by the spirit. And so that is why we need to engage prayer and fasting to take delivery of what the world has for us. Because the provisions in this world can only be accessible by your spirit. And then the word of God says in Proverbs 20:27, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly." So for you to be able to make the candle of your life to be active and glowing, you need to feed that candle. And the way to feed it is through prayers and fasting, particularly through prayers. Hallelujah. So fasting will, apart from that, being a catalyst to answers to prayer, set you at liberty. It will break bounds. It will destroy yokes. It will destroy every limitation. Isaiah 58:6. The Bible says there, "It's not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bounds of wickedness." So there are certain bounds of wickedness that most of us are carrying about that can never be loosed, no matter what, except fasting is engaged. Jesus, he is completely God and completely man. But upon baptism, the Bible said the Spirit of God led him to the mountains where he needed to be fasted out and to pray. And so he went to that mountain of temptation fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Otherwise, he may not have fulfilled his destinies. So many destinies today are wrapped up in our bellies. Our belly is like a cemetery, massacring destinies. Because we want to carry a big belly. We want to be fresh. And so we feed the flesh at the expense of the spirit. And so because nothing is accessible in the spirit by the flesh, you begin to lose out on the spiritual virtues at the expense of you feeding your body. What shall it profit you if you gain all the biryanis and all the various masala and everything, and then you are losing out on spiritual virtues? God is calling us to remember that we need to feed our spirit man. And so Jesus fasted to fulfill destiny. And so Isaiah chapter 58 also says that to undo heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke, we need to fast. Say to yourself, I must fast. You are saying it like you are not meaning it. Because you are thinking of the biryani you are prepared at home. You want to return to. Say to yourself, I must fast. Why? It is time to fast. In the mighty name of Jesus. This is the time you have to fast. May the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So the Bible is making it clear to us. There are certain burdens that will not be lifted. And of course, there are so many people running around in the church, in the house of God, carrying burdens, buckled by burdens. But they refuse to do what is needed in order for the burden to be taken away. In order for the burden to be removed. They refuse to engage the principle of fasting so that their spirit man will gain superiority for their delivery. Please, listen to me. The Bible said, deliver yourself, O Zion. There are deliverances that cannot come by way of somebody else praying for you. You need to engage. You need to engage by yourself. Deliver yourself, O Zion. And when the Bible is talking about Zion, it's talking about the church. Please, let us do what is needed so that we can take delivery of what God has ordained for us. These are the things we talked about in the first phase. And so we also talked about praying without ceasing. It is not just something that we do hit and run. When you are talking about fasting and praying, it is not conditional. It's unconditional. It's something you need to do always, always, always. Praying always without ceasing. The Bible said concerning Jesus, you know this Jesus we are talking about? Though he came as man, but he is God, God, God with us, Emmanuel. He is God in his entirety, God. But the Bible said in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. If Jesus could not survive without prayers, we cannot go far without prayers. Irrespective of the conditions, the walk, whatever excuse we are giving. You see, if you are not engaging in prayers and fasting now, the devil may have just turned his light from you. By the time he will remember you, you will know that. But that will not be you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Paul. We know Paul. You know Paul, right? He wrote 3/4 of this New Testament. 3/4 of the New Testament. A man given to fasting and prayers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, the Bible said, in weariness and painfulness, in washings often, that is prayers. In washings often, that is prayer. In hunger and thirst, and in fastings often. In fastings often. In fastings often. No wonder he did such much exploit. You can't go far without engaging this mystery. And that's why God is saying it to us. And this was where we ended the last time. If you like, you can go to our website. All these messages are there. And you can read, you can listen to it and understand it as we go to the part 2. Today, we shall be looking at the scriptural strategies for effective fasting and prayers. That's where we are going to go right now. Everything in life requires a strategy. There is no succeeding business. that is not based upon strategic insight of the management. Every succeeding business is as a result of the strategic approach of those at the helm of affairs. In this kingdom, there are strategies for taking delivery. It is not one coat fit all. For every prescription in this kingdom, there are strategies to follow. And that is exactly what we shall be looking at. Why is it that God is answering the prayer of Pastor Abraham? Is answering the prayer of Pastor Dennis, Brother Rajesh. And your prayer, you have been praying for a long time, and God is not answering. There is one thing that makes the difference. Strategy. Somebody say strategy. You need to understand the know-how of how prayer is done. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4, the apostles had always seen the apostles of John, how they would go to John, and John will be teaching them how to pray. That is why we are saying, come to church, come for prayers, because you learn to pray by praying. You learn to pray by praying. I will always say that we don't meditate prayers. What you do to prayer is what? You pray prayers, you don't meditate it. Yes, God is able to answer what we think, but there are prayers, if you must be strategic, that you must pray with your mouth. And so, we need to understand the importance of the strategy. Luke 11, 1 to 4, they came to Jesus, the apostles, teach us how to pray. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, Jesus was praying. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say. When ye pray, say. When ye pray. Now, Jesus did not say, if you pray. If you have to pray. When you pray. When ye pray, say. He didn't tell the disciples, go. Don't worry. You don't need to pray. Don't worry. I will do the prayers and cover for you. Don't worry. Pastor Dennis is praying 24/7. You don't need to worry about it. Just stay at home. He didn't say that. He said to them, when ye pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hallelujah. This scripture we just read outlines the basic strategy for answers to our prayers. This was the strategy Jesus himself adopted. And he always saw answers. There are proofs of people that have adopted this strategy and is answering. This is the strategy I am adopting. Because if Jesus himself taught it, then it must be authentic. Am I talking? If Jesus is the one that taught it himself, then it must be authentic. It must hold ground. And so, to secure a yes from heaven, to secure a yes from the throne of grace, you must approach God based on this strategy. And with a heart and a posture that aligns with his strategy, his plans, and his agenda for you. You know, God has a plan. And I always say, everything you are asking God for, God already has made provision. But he's only waiting for your alignment, for you to take delivery of it. God has an agenda concerning that particular matter. But you need to align. You need to follow up. You need to follow and position yourself for taking delivery of what God has planned. And that is his perfect will. And this is aligning ourselves is the primary kingdom strategy for taking delivery of what God has ordained for us. Hence, what are the vital keys that guarantee these strategies? We have about 7 of these vital keys, which we shall be looking at as God permits us in the mighty name of Jesus. So hence, what are some of these vital keys that guarantees answers to all of our prayers? What are these vital keys? As contained in the teaching of Jesus. The first key is the key of boldness. Key of boldness. Boldness as a son, not as a slave. You must approach God with that confidence of a son. You must approach God with that confidence of, He is my Father. And that was why Jesus said, the first strategy is, God must be your Father. He said unto them, when you pray, 11 verse 2, say, our Father which art in heaven. You must identify God as your father and my father. For you to be able to take delivery of answers to your prayers, you must be his son. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Please hear me well. Boldness covers even for mercy. When you approach the throne of grace with boldness, immediately God have mercy, even without you asking. You see that? At the end of it, towards the middle of that teaching, that was why Jesus said, and forgive us our trespass. As you come to his presence with boldness, God immediately looks at him and says, this man knows he's right. He's my son. He knows that no matter what, I can never cast him out. How many of us, because our children did something wrong, we'll just cast them out? Never. You remember the story of the prodigal son? As the father saw him coming from afar off, he looked at him. In fact, he was always coming out to watch to see whether the son was coming. Every day he would come out and watch. He's not coming today. I know he will come one day. He will come again the next day. Luke chapter 15. He will look. He's not coming. I know he will come one day. Until one day, he came out and was watching and saw the son from afar off. And he said, that's my son coming. While the son was still coming, he was running to him. And he heard him and fell on his shoulder. That's what God is always doing. Because the son was returning back with boldness, God, the father, approached him and heard him. Even before he could ask for mercy, the son was saying, Father, forgive me. I know I have sinned. He said, no, don't worry. Just come. And he ordered for them to kill a fat cow. Why? Because of boldly approaching the throne of grace. So let us approach God boldly, with confidence of faith, knowing that God has an answer to that situation. Number two strategy is the strategy of worship and thanksgiving. That is the number two. Strategy of praise and worship. We are very quick to ask. Yes, sometimes I understand that we could be pressured by a lot of things. We want to quickly tell God. Yes, I do it sometimes. But the Bible says, Jesus speaking said, hallowed be thy name. We are going to be praying in the name. And so you need to hallow that name for the name to answer for you. Hallowed be thy name. It's an act of worship. It's an act of praise. You are hallowing his name for who he is. When you hallow his name and give him thanks, the gates of God opens up to you. That is the only guaranteed access to God's presence. Psalms chapter 100 verse 4. Enter his gate with what? With thanksgiving, and his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So thanksgiving is the only master key that can easily unlock God's presence. No matter what the situation may be, as you give God thanks, you access his presence. As you give him praise, you come into his court. And once you are there, no situation on heaven and earth can stop you. If only you can access his presence. The Bible said, in the presence of the Lord, the mountains, they melt like wax. As you step into his presence, even before you begin to open your mouth to pray, those ancient mountains are already giving up. That shall be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. So you must access his presence with thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. One of the greatest war that was ever fought in the history of Scripture was the story of Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel. 2 Corinthians chapter 20. All four nations, they came together to attack Jehoshaphat, one small country. They wanted to dismantle Jehoshaphat completely. But they prayed for strategy. They prayed. And then, in the midst of prayer, God said, you don't need to worry about this. Just appoint unto me singers. Just give me people to praise me. And Jehoshaphat appointed singers according to the word of the Lord. As they began to praise the beauty of his holiness, the Bible says God set ambushment. They didn't need to fight. They didn't have to shoot an arrow. God himself took over the battle and he beat them before the face of Jehoshaphat. By the time they got to the battlefront, you know what happened? They were gathering spoils. They were gathering spoils. Imagine people going to fight. They were coming with gold and silver tied on their waist. God prepared them to be a spoil. I don't know whatever that situation may have been that is tormenting and torturing you. God has ordained it to be a spoil for you. And by the authority in the name of Jesus, it shall turn to you for a testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. They gave God thanks. As they were praising God, God arose and he dismantled the enemies of Jehoshaphat. So, let us be smart enough to give God praise upon the altar of prayer. Third strategy, you must approach God with a kingdom priority mindset. Kingdom priority mindset. Kingdom in project management, there are a lot of tools that helps project managers to make decisions, prioritizing tools that you can use to make decisions. And there are several of them that we can even apply to our lives to take very critical decisions. And as you are coming unto God, God wants you on that your boss A, the kingdom of God should be the first, that first quadrant. Kingdom priority mindset means keeping God on your priority list as option one. So you must come to him. Jesus said in verse 2, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. How many places? Is it the second thought? First. First before anything else. First before yourself. I always say to myself, I say I love God more than anybody in my life. Anybody in my life. Including, I love God more than myself. So who else? Who else? I love him more than myself. More than myself. I can go all out for him. It's not like I am almighty, all strength, that I don't feel tired. But because of the love, it drives me. The Bible said the love of the Lord constrains me. It constrains me. And so we need to put God first, no matter what. Put him first before he asks. Put him first before anything, and you will see him at work. He said, put him first. Kingdom priority first. So when you go to God in prayers, before you begin to tell him your needs, he understands them. Pray for the church. Pray for our pastor. Pray for the leaders. Pray for harvest of souls. Presently in outreach ministry, we are having an operation, come and see, where God is telling us to go out and invite people. Just tell them to come and see what God is doing in the midst of the church. Put God first. Put God first. And you will see what God will do in your life. What are you doing for God? You are asking God all these things. But what God is asking you, are you paying attention to it? Or you think that the reason why you are here in Muscat is because of that thing that you are pursuing? God has put you here because he has an assignment for you. And primary amongst this assignment is for you to represent his kingdom. Tell somebody Jesus loves you. He doesn't take anything from you. Who are you going to tell that somebody loves you and then he will become angry? Say, how can you love me? Who among you here that I will say, I love you, my brother. Can you be angry about it? Nobody has ever been angry because you told them that you love them. Nobody. Tell somebody Jesus loves you. He loves you. He can take care of you. He can take care of that situation. Don't worry, Jesus loves you. Say, okay, how? Okay, let me tell you about him. Tell somebody about Christ, because by so doing, you are keeping Christ first as your kingdom priority. Number four, come with expectations. Come with expectations. Give us this day, verse 3, our daily bread. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18. For surely there is an end, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. So many appear before the throne of grace without having anything in their heart. Well, God will look upon your heart to see if you have an expectation that he will answer to. So when you are coming before the throne of grace, we are coming upon the altar of prayer. If it's possible, write it down. Write it down. The Bible said, write the vision and make it plain upon a tablet, that he may run that read it. Habakkuk chapter 2. Write it. Present your expectations in prayers, and you will see God will grant that expectation, particularly in our heart, in the mighty name of Jesus. There was one sister that came here and was kneeling down. Sister, are you here? Are you still here? She has gone. She has gone. Hallelujah. She reminded me of Hannah. Hannah, everybody will go to Shiloh. They will do whatever they want to do. But Hannah on that day went to Shiloh with deep expectation. And so while people were eating and drinking, Hannah stood before the throne. And she was crying and weeping. And her lip was moving. And the priest came. Said, this woman, something must be wrong with you. As early as this early morning, early morning, like you have already drunk. He said, no, sir, I am not drunk. My mind is full with expectation. And he said unto him, be it unto you as you have desired. Did God answer him or not? God answered him. One of the greatest prophets that ever emerged in Israel came through her. Why? Because of deep expectation. When I saw her kneeling here, I knew there was something burning in her heart, because I've been in such shoes before. I've been in such shoes. When you have something in your heart, nothing stops you. It's just like the woman with the issue of blood. She has been in that condition for 12 years. Everybody will say, no, you can't go there. As far as you are seeing blood, you can't touch him. In fact, you can't even be amongst people. She broke the crowd. She dismantled everybody and appeared before Jesus and touched him. And immediately, the blood ceased. So expectations can drive you. When you approach the throne of grace without expectation, you are not driven by anything. And it is that driving force that attracts God. Because we are not driven by anything, that's why we see when people are coming for Thursday prayers, we are seated back somewhere. It doesn't bother us. Except you are very, very busy. You are really unavoidably busy. That one is a different case. But you are seated back home. It's because you don't have expectation. And God is looking for men that will approach him, not casually. My father in the faith will always say, there are so many that are approaching God casually, and they are ending as casualties. Right in the presence of God, they are coming and they are ending as casualty. Why? Because they lack expectation. Expectation is the only thing that flies in this kingdom. Because as you are praying and crying, God will say, what do you want? What do you want? Say to me what you want. Blind Bartimaeus, he was blind and he heard that Jesus was coming. He screamed and he was crying. He was crying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David. Everybody knew that he was blind. As a matter of fact, blindness had become his surname. You know, that situation that becomes your surname. So many people are like that. Situation had become his surname. Blind Bartimaeus. And so he came before Jesus Christ. Jesus saw that he was blind. His eyes were covered. As a matter of fact, people were already saying to him, blind Bartimaeus, leave this master alone. Leave him alone. But he insisted. And Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? What do you want? To know whether he has expectations. What do you want? Some of us, we cry, Lord, 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 oh God, oh God. And God is saying, oh God, yes, oh God, what do you want? Say to me what you want. Nothing to say. And then we'll cry and cry and cry and cry. And then we'll go. May the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Come before his presence with expectation. And even coming to his church, come with expectation. And you will secure your delivery in the mighty name of Jesus. You must come in faith. You must come in faith. We talked about okay, they cry for mercy. When you come to God, you also must cry for mercy. We know of that. The Bible said in Luke 18:38, he cried saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. It's also tied to expectation. That's why I blended both of them together. You must come with expectation, and you also must come crying for mercy. You must come in faith. You must come in faith. No faith, no access to him. No faith, no access to God. Nothing can be delivered to any man, no matter what, no matter how much you pray, without faith. Without faith. Only faith can secure the provision that God has in stock for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, very popular scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God in expectation must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 9 to 10, commended the faith of the centurion. He said to him, Jesus, just say the word. All you just need to do, say the word. And I know that my servant will be healed. Jesus said, how? I have not seen this kind of faith before. He came with expectation. And he asked Jesus with faith. And Jesus addressed that particular need. Are you approaching God without expectation? Please, come with expectation and in faith. And in faith. And in faith. And God will visit you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number 7, you must be free from anxiety. Worry is a prayer killer. Trade your anxiety for peace before you start your prayer journey. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Anxiety is an indication of lack of faith. When you become anxious, you are telling God, I don't think you can do this. I don't think you can do this. But when you trust in him, ask in faith, you believe, and anxiety definitely will flee. James chapter 1, 6 to 7 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That is anxiety. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. When you are anxious unnecessarily, the end result is fear. When you are anxious unnecessarily, the end result is doubt. And once there is doubt, God can never move, because God can never work with doubt. And so when you come to him, deal with that anxiety. And how do you deal with that? Haven't prayed about it. Give God thanks more about it. That is one particular prescription for handling doubt. May the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Final mandate. What else do we need to know? As we continue to engage in prayers, we must understand the mandate that guides our prayer and our fasting. And number one mandate is the mandate of consistency. Not you are there today, tomorrow you are gone. Today you are a prayer warrior, tomorrow they are looking for you. You must be consistent upon the altar of prayers. You don't pray today and tomorrow they are not seeing you anymore. You must keep asking. Keep asking. That's why I like the way NIV put that, is it amplified, that Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. He said, continue asking. Continue asking. You must consistently ask for you to receive what God has ordained for you. Number 2 mandate, the mandate of prayer as a refiner's fire. Prayer, as we already said, is not just an altar of asking and receiving. There is also the process of processing, if you get what I mean. There is a processing aspect of prayers, where when you appear before God in prayers, you surrender yourself to him, and he begins to process you. He begins to process you. You know refineries. You know the processing that takes place. Very high temperature processing. Except a goat goes through fire, it cannot be refined. And so prayer is also an altar of processing. You must understand the mandate of processing for you to be able to take delivery of what prayer carries. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we are with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So, in the place of prayer, there is a changing that takes place. That changing molds you into becoming like Christ, and then you can assess what God has for you. God, first of all, takes care of the dredge, those things that are not of Him. He purges you, and then as you are becoming more like Him, you now begin to receive what He has ordained for you. So as you come before His presence in prayers, allow Him to process you. And various ways God can process us is to appear in His presence like this. Is to come before prayers, Thursday prayers, every area, victory night, vigil. As you are engaging in these things, you are going through the processing furnace of God. And as God is processing you, He's getting you ready for the delivery of what you are looking unto Him for. And except God has fully processed you, there are certain blessings that He will not hand over to you. I'm telling you the truth. There are certain loads, some structures, that will not be subjected to certain loads except they have gone through certain processing. The material science people, they know exactly what I'm talking about. There must be some certain processing that particular matter must have gone through in order for him to be subject to that load, and so he can withstand it without buckling or breaking under the impact or compressive force of that load. So God has seen you that what you are asking for is a heavy load. That thing you are asking for, God knows that if I give you at this point, it will break you. There are so many people that were crying unto God for certain things. As soon as God gave them, they turn on Him. Say, Lord, hold on first. Let me take care of this thing you are giving to me. Things that God gives to us become gods. They become gods. Give us car, give us house, even sometimes children. They become gods. And so God said, Kai, I didn't process this guy very well. God will process you to be sure that you are ready to take delivery of that thing. So many people have been destroyed because of certain blessings that God handed over to them. So except God had taken you through His processing to be sure that you are ready, some things He may just give us, not because we are fully processed, but because so many have been crying for us, or so many, time has just gone. God said, okay, let me give Him. And I'll see how I will work with Him to restore Him by the time He is broken. Yes, they call it improvising in engineering. Certain things that are not exactly the thing that's supposed to be used, you improvise. Something said, let me just give Him and try Him, because there are still things that needs to be given. But let me give Him this one first and see. And then you take that one and you run away. God say, okay, see, I said it. That will not be a portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Let God process you and confirm you that you are due for that blessing. He will release it for you in the mighty name of Jesus. So there is a refiner's fire process that you must need go through for you to receive what God has. As we are rounding up, the mandate of the help of the Spirit, the mandate of the help of the Holy Ghost. Jesus needed the Holy Ghost to perform. If Jesus needed the Spirit, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, Jesus is God by Himself. He died as God, but He didn't raise Himself. It was the Holy Spirit that rose Him from the dead. How many of you know it was the Spirit of God that rose Jesus? The Bible says, if the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwell in you, even He that rose Jesus shall quicken your mortal body. So He needed the Holy Spirit as God to operate. Let me tell you another thing in Genesis. God created the heavens and earth. It was without form and void. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. That was what gave prerogative to God to commence creation, because the Spirit was upon the face of the water. Why was the Spirit upon the face of the water? Because the Spirit needed to take the world and convert it to creation. So God also needed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the driving force behind the Godhead. It's like standing behind the God the Father and God the Son, but he's actually the propelling power in the midst of the Godhead. If God the Father needs the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son needs the Holy Spirit. You cannot succeed without the Holy Spirit. You need him. I'm not just talking about just you with evidence that you have the Spirit. May the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. For we know not what we ought to pray. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit prays through us with groanings and intercession that cannot be uttered. Oftentimes in the place of prayer, you become so confused, so to speak. You just be wondering, what am I going to pray now? Once you hand it over to the Spirit, he takes over and he energizes your inner man. Jude verse 20, the Bible says, pray in the Holy Ghost, building your most holy faith. As you are praying in the Holy Ghost, your spiritual muscles are built up and you gain energy to stand on the altar of prayers. Reason why so many are fainting on the altar of prayers is that we have not given momentum to the Holy Spirit. We believe we can do it in the energy of the flesh. Or sometimes altogether, we believe the Holy Spirit does not matter. Spirit of God, don't worry. I can handle this myself. Jesus needed the Spirit to handle it. God the Father, seated on the throne creating, needed the Holy Ghost upon the face of the earth to handle creation. You need him. You need him. Somebody say, I need the Holy Spirit. You will receive him in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see yourself in the place of prayer, and the Spirit of God takes over. He pushes you to that place where you just see yourself, you'll be groaning. You'll be groaning in the Holy Ghost. You cannot utter it, but you just see yourself praying. But first, you need to be filled to overflowing, to operate in such level. I say it again. Jesus needed the Spirit. You need him. Amen. As we round up, finally, mandate of watchfulness. Mandate of watchfulness. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Because beyond answering, God also reveals. So there is a requirement for sovereign intelligence. That's what I call it. Sovereign intelligence. As you are praying, you are listening. As you are praying, you are asking God. You don't just pray and pray and pray. When you see people that love to pray, people that pray, one of the strategies is that as you pray, you listen. You stand still and hear what he will say. So you must engage that mandate of watchfulness. One day I got up in the night. I wanted to pray around 4. As I went on my knee to pray. As I was praying, he said, stand up. Sit. I sat. He said, listen. I know I needed to listen after the end of the prayer. And so I sat there. I was listening. For that full hour, before I went to go and join my family in prayer at 5 o'clock, I was listening. 1 hour. 1 hour. By the time I ended that 1 hour listening and waiting, as I got up to go and, he now said, hallelujah. God can be humorous sometimes. He can test your patience. He says, stand up. This is not time to pray. Now sit down there. I sat. He said, okay, listen. I stood still and I was watching. There is a mandate of watchfulness. If you don't listen, God may not say things. Because God does not speak in rowdiness. You must pay attention to him. For him to say what he needs to say to you. And he said in Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3, call upon me and I will answer and do what? Show you great and mighty thing. It is in the process of watchfulness that God shows. That God shows. God will continue to show you. Finally, the mandate of sonship. That's where we are rounding up. You must be a son. You must be a member of his kingdom for him to answer. Now we know, John chapter 9, verse 31, that God heareth not sinners,
But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you a son? You know, in the kingdom, we don't have daughters. So every one of us, we have sons of the kingdom. Are you born again, sir? Now, I want to say, if you have doubt in your heart whether you are born again, you are not born again. Because born again experience is not guesswork. It is not guesswork. There is an inner conviction in your heart that you are born again. Have you given your life to Jesus? If not, everything we have been saying since, it cannot work for you. Until the prodigal son returned in Luke chapter 15, until he returned, he was not restored. He did not qualify to the heritage of the Father. So there is the mandate of being born again. And I want to give an opportunity. If you are here, you want to give your life to Christ. I mean, make amends with Christ. In your seated position, let's bow our heads. Just wave your hands. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. Wave your hands to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is not, we are not playing. It's not gameplay. You want to rededicate your life. Please wave your hand to Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord has seen your hands. The Lord has seen your hand. You are going to say this word after me. Lord Jesus, in that seated position, I come to you and surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and my Savior. In the name of Jesus, forgive me my sins. And help me to serve you with all my might. From today henceforth, I will follow you, no going back. I will serve you, no going back. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Let us all rise up right now. Let's give God thanks for the word that has come. Hallelujah. Give him thanks for what he has spoken. We give you praise, Father.